Okay, so this morning, I'm going to take a break from, our series that we're on, and I just want to talk about camp. And I know like four of you in this room aren't going to camp, and I'm not going to talk about exactly what we're going to be talking about at camp, because I don't want to steal any of Corey's thunder or anything that he's going to be talking about, but I just want to kind of prepare you guys that are going for camp, or get you guys thinking about things pertaining to camp if you haven't already been preparing. I know some of you guys have been like excited about it or looking forward to going and things like that, but I want to talk about like what God can do in 1 week. So when you think about things from the Bible that God can do in a week, He created the universe in a week, right? We talk about creation and the 7 days of creation. He created it in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. I know we're only going for 5 days, but if you think about what God is able to accomplish in 1 week from the Bible, I mean, to create everything that we have ever seen and the whole universe that we can't see, He created that in a week. Or you think about like what Jesus Christ did in 3 days, right? From the time He was in the garden praying till He was arrested, till He was on trial, till He was put on the cross and then put in the grave, and then He rose from the dead, right, in 3 days' time. God can do amazing things in short periods of time. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, because we're going to be gone for 5 days or four and a half days, something like that. And, you know, God can do miraculous things this coming week in your life. And so I've been planning this upcoming week for, 6 months. Probably was me and Bo probably started talking January, February time frame, something like that. So we've been planning this upcoming week for months. And I've been talking with Bo and with Corey, the speaker. I've been talking with our adult leaders that are going. I think we had our first meeting like March or April time frame. And so we've been, you know, working on details and who's going to be doing what, and, you know, what kind of games are we going to play, and what kind of food are we going to eat, and, you know, who's sleeping where, and how are the groups going to be set up, and who do we even know is coming?
Through all those meetings that you did you guys choose almost like who gets to like serve everybody during the time? Because I know how we did it last time. Are we going to do this time?
It'll be a little bit different this time.
Okay.
You'll find out all those details. I'm not going to spoil any details about groups or the exact plan for the week today. We'll talk about that stuff tomorrow when we get there. But you know, the band has been practicing the songs that they're going to play, and they've been working on practicing together at our vision conference in April when Mike Blake came down. Mike and Sam and Brenton were practicing the songs then. They've been talking on the phone before that. Like, a lot of work and preparation from every adult that's going has gone into this week, right? We've been working on all of the details and trying to nail down everything. I've got a spreadsheet that has like 15 tabs on it that I'm putting in all the details of each day and each group and what are the teams going to look like and what are we going to do on this day, and trying to make all of this stuff come together so it's fun, so that you guys enjoy it, so that it's an eventful week, like a week that I'm not doing the speaking primarily. It's going to be Corey, but all these things that we've been working on to come together to make it be a great week. But the ironic thing is, like, I don't know what God's going to do this week. Like, all of the work that has gone into it, we can plan and we can do all the preparations. And hopefully you guys have been, thinking about what this week might look like for you guys. And I know you guys are excited maybe to be away from your parents or away from your siblings or away from your jobs if you have those. You're like excited for some component of what we're going to be doing. Some of you might be a little bit nervous. You're going to be away from mom and dad. Maybe you haven't done that before, or it's not been for this long of a period of time. You're not going to be having your phones. That may be difficult for some of you guys. Hopefully you guys have been thinking about some of those things. But the truth is, like, we don't know exactly what God is going to do this week, right? I've seen the notes on the messages. I know what Corey's going to be talking about in general. But I don't know what the week is going to look like. Like, God will do something this week that we're not expecting. So the theme this year, hopefully you guys know already. What is the theme?
Sent.
Okay, so the theme is sent. The focus is on evangelism, right? So we're going to be talking about evangelism. Our speaker, his name is Corey Howell. He's the youth pastor at First Baptist Church of Jackson, Ohio, which if you guys, how many of you guys came like 4 years ago when we had Stephen Winnicka preach? It was at Life Change. No, he's from Ohio. No, he's still at the same church. Were you the only one that was at that camp that's here right now? Nobody else was at that camp when Stephen...
You were not there.
That was, it was the battle.
Holly was there.
Was I?
It was the other, last time we went to Life Change. I thought you were there.
Not last year.
It was the first time.
It was it was the year that we had that group from Springfield that came up.
But Harrison, let me go.
Oh, we were in
7th grade. All right. So, I guess it was, huh?
That was Luke's and Jackson's first year.
Yes, they were there.
This is
my
first
year. Okay. So, anyways, Stephen Winnicka was our speaker 4 years ago. He was the youth pastor at the same church. He has since moved out of the youth pastor role. He's like the associate pastor now. And Corey took his place a couple years ago as the youth pastor. And so he's been, we probably talked for the first time like in March, something like that. We had a Zoom call and we were talking about the theme and we were talking about kind of what we wanted to focus on as far as evangelism. And within like a few days, he was saying, oh, you know, I have these ideas here, and this is what I was thinking about this. And so he's been working on ideas and plans and stuff like that since like March, April time frame. And like I said, I've seen his notes. I know kind of what he's going to be talking about. Obviously, when we talk about evangelism, like, you know, he's going to be talking about how to share the gospel with people. That's the focus of his messages. But I don't know exactly what he's going to say. I don't know where... I kind of know roughly where each of you guys are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know specifically where all of you guys are at. But, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're lost. Maybe you've never clearly heard the gospel presented. Maybe you've heard the gospel a bunch of times, but you've never really responded to that in any kind of way. Or you don't really know what you think about that. Maybe you are saved. Maybe you've gotten saved at a camp before or some other time, but you've never really done anything with that relationship. You know, you like accepted Christ as your Savior. You were maybe excited about that, and then that was the end of it, right? You didn't do anything with that for whatever reason. Maybe you've been at this church for a long time and you know a lot of things. Maybe you come here on Sundays and Wednesdays regularly, but, you know, like your relationship with the Lord is just kind of whatever it is because you attend church. Maybe you've been saved, but you don't really do anything with it outside of attending church. I don't know exactly where all of you guys are, but all of us are, you know, somewhere on that spectrum. We all have, you know, our own personal relationship with God in some way, unless you're lost, in which case you don't have one yet. But this week, God's going to meet you wherever you're at, and, you know, he's going to want to do something in your life. Every year at camp, you know, God does miraculous things. If you open up to Proverbs chapter 27... If you have a Bible, I'm just going to read one verse, so if you don't have one, just listen. So one of the reasons that we went with this theme for camp, one of the reasons, honestly, is selfishly for me, I'm not great at sharing the gospel. I mean, it's scary to share the gospel with people, right? You don't know what they're going to say. You don't know if you're going to have the right answers to their questions. What if they, you know, like, are, you know, they know more about it than you do and they, like, shut you down, you know, like, that could be intimidating. Maybe you don't want to share the gospel with, like, a friend or a family member because you don't want to make the relationship weird and awkward. And, like, the next time you talk to them after you share the gospel with them, what are you supposed to say then? Like, if they don't, you know, respond well, like, that could be awkward. Maybe you lose a relationship. There's all kinds of reasons why we don't share the gospel with people. And so for me, you know, I want to like have a week to talk about not, I mean, I know why and I know how and I know the importance of it and all those things, but like to force me to do it. If we're going to have a camp about it, I'm going to have to like do it, you know? And so this summer I've tried to push myself to do that more frequently. And especially when we come back from camp, hopefully as we're all like excited about what God has done at camp, hopefully we have this mindset that we want to, you know, apply the things that we've learned. Yes. 27. So that's one of the reasons that, I wanted to do this theme of, sent and talking about evangelism. Also, I think it's important for you guys, like at the ages that you're at and the stage of life that you're at, you guys interact with people a lot. I mean, unless you're homeschooled, you interact with people all the time at school, right? School is going to be starting up in a couple weeks for all of us, or all of you. I know, I'm sorry, but it's going to be here soon, and you know, you guys are going to be interacting with lost people at school all the time. And so, even if you go to a Christian school, you're probably going to interact with lost people. That's just the fact of the matter. Chapter 27, verse 1. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And so, a lot of times when we talk about that verse, we talk about, you know, we don't know what tomorrow has for us. And we talk about that maybe in the context of, like, death. Like, we might not be here tomorrow. Or maybe, you know, Jesus might come back today, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? But, I mean, it can be anything. We don't know that we're going to get to interact with the same person again tomorrow, right? We don't know for sure that we're going to have the same friendships that we have today tomorrow. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. And so it says not to boast ourselves. Don't be, like, confident or proud that you know what's going to happen tomorrow, because none of us really knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We have a plan. We're going to go to camp, right? Last year on the way to camp, what happened to the church van? We had a tire blow out, okay? That could have been really bad. Luckily, it was a rear tire, and Phil and Nick and everybody was behind us, and they were able to, you know, keep people off of us. There was a tire shop, like, 200 yards from where we had a blowout. You know, God protected us in that, but we don't know. I mean, what if that was a front tire? What if there was a semi right next to us when it happened? I mean, we have no idea. I mean, I'm not praying for any of that, obviously, but what? Monmouth had an even scarier situation. They had a deadly accident happen literally like one or two cars in front of them. You can see their cars in the footage, like the news footage, not the news footage, but the, I don't know, there's some pictures and stuff that you can see their cars behind this accident that happened on their way. So yeah, we both had like sketchy situations. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen later on today. And I looked this up. It's kind of a little bit morbid, but how many people do you guys think die daily worldwide? Give me a guess. In the whole world, 35 million?
No, like 2,000.
Which one?
2,000.
Okay, 2,000 people a day worldwide?
It never ends.
I mean, how many people in one day do you think die in the world?
3.2
million.
I know the average every minute is 105.
105 every minute? I didn't do
that.
That's not that. That's pretty close. I did do the math for a second, but so it's 150,000 people per day. Worldwide, which is, that's 2 people per second, so like 120-ish people per hour. What? I don't know exactly. No. Okay, how many people in the U.S. die every day? Approximately. If it's 150,000 worldwide, how many people in the U.S. do you think? 43? 75,000?
71,000.
71? It's about 9,000. It's about 9,000 people, which is about 350 people per hour. Okay, why does that matter? When we're talking about the importance of sharing the gospel with people, we don't know how much longer that person has, right? We don't know how much longer we have with the opportunity to do that. Okay? Not just death, but if Jesus Christ comes back, the opportunities to share the gospel end right then. Right? The gospel doesn't matter anymore once Jesus Christ comes back.
Huh?
No, we're gone when Jesus comes back. Alright. So, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. Right? All of us have opportunities all the time to share the gospel with people. We also don't know, I was looking at some old numbers. I'm going to give you guys some numbers on camps. So I said, I think 8 people in this room have never been to one of our camps before. Even if you went to every camp that our church offers you, from the time you enter sixth grade until the year after you graduate high school, that's 8 camps. Okay, it would be the most you could attend, unless you come back as an adult, as a counselor or something like that. But, you know, we have limited time to do these camps, right? I mean, you guys have limited times to attend these camps. And you're not probably going to attend one every single year for one reason or another. Maybe you're going to miss some years here and there. But I went back and looked at, okay, so since 2018, that was the first year that that I was over the youth ministry when we did camp. So I've had 8 camps myself. Let's see.
That's 7. This one has
18, 19.
Yeah, this is number 8. This is number 8. So the first year in 2018, that was the year that Elizabeth Hedges was going into sixth grade. Okay, she just graduated high school this year. So that's the time frame. So she was at that first camp. And so from the time that she was going into sixth grade, and some of you guys that are going into sixth grade this year, we've got 8 years. Okay, there was 30 kids that went to that camp from this church. And then Elizabeth is the only one that's still around that could attend this year. In 2019, we had 25 campers. We had like 3 of our adults that are coming to camp this year were students at that camp. Sam, Brenton, and Cody were all campers at that camp. And then I think Amy Tabora was the only student at that camp that will be at this camp. That was in 2019. Then 2020, we were down to 19 campers. That was your first camp, Yeah, we did the retreat in the fall because that was COVID year and all the campgrounds canceled and we couldn't get a camp place. Yeah, it was still like a camp. But yeah, that was 2020. 2021, we were down to 12 campers. That was the smallest number of campers that we had. That was our first year when we went to, that was the Stephen Winnicke year.
Huh? With Monmouth and one community.
Yeah, with this church from Springfield. I didn't realize it either, but I was going through, I was looking at pictures and registrations and stuff. There was only 12 of us. So that was Jackson and Lucas and Brendan. And then Sam was a camper. That was his senior year. Yeah. And then 2022, we had 22 students. Several of you guys, Jackson, that was my son's first camp. Jackson, Lucas, Brendan, Colton was at that camp, and Amy was at that camp. And then, yeah, that was you guys were there. Yeah, I'm just talking about students, sorry. In 2023, we had 27 students. 2023 was Murder Hills. And then, yeah, it was called Miracle Hills. And then 2024, we also had 27. And then this year, anybody know how many campers we have this year?
Like 85.
We have 38 from this church. Plus, were you? Monmouth is bringing at least 18. They might have a couple more. But we'll have about 80 people total, counting adults. Yeah. So, what I want to point out by giving you guys all these numbers, why does this matter? A lot of you guys weren't even around when I'm talking about this. My point, and I thought it was fun to go back and look. I was looking at old pictures and some of these baby face kids from like their 6th and 7th grade years. It's fun to go back and look at them, but they were just young. You guys were all young. It was just fun to go back and remind myself of how young some of you guys were. But, from last year, we had 27 campers. 19 of them are, 19 of them are coming back this year. So we have 38 campers, and only 19 of them are coming back from last year. So we have 19 either new or ones that weren't at camp last year. So the turnover from camp to camp is a lot, right? As I was just looking at the names on these lists, some of these kids I've kind of forgotten about or haven't seen them around since some of these camps. And so it's interesting to go back and to look at, you know, like you guys might come to this camp, and then I hope you guys all come back next year and we continue to grow it, and not just because we want to have a lot of kids come to camps, but because we want to see that, like, God has done something in my life at this camp. I'm really excited about what's happening, and I want to come back and do it again. And not just because I want to come have fun and do all those things, which we definitely will do that, but whenever you go to camp and you get away from distractions of life and you get away from all the things that are happening, you know, like your normal routine, especially during the summertime, I think a lot of you guys probably like to sleep in, watch TV, play video games, play on your phone. Like, it's probably a lot of just, like, chilling, which is okay in the summertime, some. But to get out of that routine and to get like into a different routine, a routine where you get up in the morning and you read your Bible and then you like hear somebody preaching to you. You get a chance to sit around in a small group of people and talk about what God's doing in your life or what He's not doing in your life or things that you're struggling with or things that are going well. And like when you get to get around people and do that, even when it's weird and awkward and all of those things, and then, you know, then you get to play games and have fun, and then you get to, you know, have lunch and sit with different people, and you get to spend all day with people, and you get to kind of be submersed in really good praise music, and we get to be submersed in good preaching, and all of those things. When you do that for a whole week, like, it allows God to do something different than what He can do in your normal routine. And so, as we see those turnover from camp to camp to camp, you know, I don't know what kind of impact we can have. Like, I don't know on these students that aren't coming back or the ones that we maybe only saw at one camp and maybe they've never been to church again. What is God doing in their lives? I can think of specific people right now that have gotten saved at camp and then we don't really see them again after that. And it's like, well, what happened to this person? Are they attending church somewhere else? Is their relationship with God, you know, continuing to grow, or was it just like a one-time event and then it's kind of stopped? And obviously we don't want that, but that's the truth. Like, some people move away, or some people, you know, like, especially at your guys' ages, you're dependent on what your parents do, right? If your parents leave or go to a different church, or your parents, you know, don't attend this church or whatever, you know, we can't always necessarily see you again. So how many of you guys have gotten saved at a camp? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so you guys know the impact that camp can have on somebody's life, right? I mean, you understand that, like, God can do things at a camp. And so, you know, 5 of you guys, I mean, I think pretty much every year we have 2 to 10 people between us and MCBC, you know, that people get saved at camps. We've had people get, you know, that decide they want to get baptized. We've had people sign up for discipleship. We've had people that just have decided they want to stop doing something in their life, or they want to start doing something different in their life. It's going to be a week that God can do a lot of things. And so I've been praying for you guys this week. I know the adults, I've been encouraging all the counselors, be praying for the campers, be praying for the people who we think are coming or we're not sure if they're coming. And, you know, like, be praying for people. I mean, I've given them lists of who the campers are so we can pray specifically over each of you guys that are coming. You know, we want it to be a good week, but I kind of wanted to, like, challenge you guys or encourage you guys. Like, I don't know how many of you guys have been praying about this upcoming week, but hopefully you guys have been praying as well, and, like, thinking about, like, what might God want to do with me this week at camp, and praying, God, like, show me what it is that you want me to do. What's the next step in my relationship with you, or what's the next thing that you want me to do? The theme is going to be evangelism. So I can tell you one thing that He's going to want you to do is share the gospel with somebody. And as scary as that might sound, hopefully by the end of the week, maybe you're encouraged that you can share the gospel with somebody. You have the tools now to share the gospel with somebody. You know, I can promise you that's one thing that He wants you to do, if you're already saved, of course. You know, if you're lost, like, that's going to be the thing. God's going to want to begin a relationship with you this week. So just be praying and thinking about what it is that God would have for you. I know that you guys have been thinking about what kind of games we're going to play and what kind of food we're going to have and who's going to be in your cabin and all of those things. And those are key elements of camp. So I'm glad you guys are thinking about those things. But hopefully you've been thinking about some of the spiritual things and what God might be wanting to do in your life. And just know He can do and has done amazing things in 1 week's time. So even though it's a fairly short length of time, even in relation to, like, just your summer, it's a pretty small percentage of your time, but just know that God can do some amazing things in this week that we're gone. So I want to wrap up, and I'm going to pray. Does anybody else want to pray, students or adults? I'm just going to pray over camp, and I'll pray again over camp tomorrow before we leave, but anybody want what?
You know, the Hunter kid is coming this year.
Hunter is coming this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Our parents.